Hey everybody, Jan Rutherford here with Self-Reliant Leadership. Welcome to another show live stream. And today our special guest is Jason Van Camp. And he is the co-author of a really great book on deliberate discomfort. And I'm going to bring him on right now. There he is. Jason, hey, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jan. Awesome to be here.
Yeah. Well, you wrote this book, Deliberate Discomfort, and it had a lot to do with mastering the art of being uncomfortable.
Correct.
Being uncomfortable with being comfortable with being uncomfortable. your tagline.
That's right.
I'd love to get the backstory on that. You know, because obviously you invested a lot of time to put it together, and it's right there behind you.
Yeah, I got plenty of copies behind me. Plenty of copies behind me. We've sold a lot of copies, almost 20,000 so far.
Wow.
And I guess about eight and a half months so far. So that's fantastic. You know, number one Amazon bestseller, and hopefully we'll get some other, you know, publications calling us a bestseller as well soon. So, you know, I wrote an article with a guy named Chris Desi many years ago, maybe 5 years ago, for Inc. magazine. And it was all about getting comfortable, being uncomfortable. And Chris and I wrote a few articles together, but this particular piece got more attention than any other piece we wrote together. And I was like, wow, I'm like, what? Literally millions of views on this one. I'm like, there's something here. You know, people want to hear about getting comfortable, being uncomfortable. People want to hear about voluntarily, intentionally, deliberately placing themselves in uncomfortable positions so they can grow and improve and become stronger. And once I saw that, I essentially transformed my entire business, Mission 60, so that we would present our material under the umbrella of deliberate discomfort.
Yeah. And how much does, you know, your comfortability with being uncomfortable come from, you know, the discipline to do a 2-year mission, being an Army football player, becoming a Green Beret? How much, I mean, do you think the average person can relate to some of the things that you've been through?
I think so. I'm not an outlier. You know, like, I'm just like anybody else. I was just able to turn the volume up, and you can relate with that, Jan. You know, like, you do something like going out for a 20-minute jog is difficult for some people. For me, where I'm at in my life, training for an Ironman race is very difficult for me. And it's something that I want to do in 2021. I've never done it before. However, one of my really close friends, a great friend of mine, he lives just down the street from me. His name is James Lawrence. His nickname is the Iron Cowboy.
Oh, yeah.
He did 50 Ironman races in 50 consecutive days in all 50 states. So that's his level of discomfort. And so for me, I look at him, I'm like, man, like, one Ironman race, I thought you'd be a badass for doing an Ironman. I mean, that's tough stuff. But this guy did 50 in a row in 50 states. And it just takes it to a step further, because that's his difficult. You know what I mean?
And I saw the documentary
he's got a Netflix documentary out there. You know, I'm hoping to tag along with him when he goes to Antarctica. And next year, or maybe the year after, because he's going to do an Ironman race in Antarctica. And I was hoping to join him there.
Yeah. How do you swim in Antarctica?
It's the one continent I haven't been on yet. And if you're going to go down there, you might as well do it right. So let's run an Ironman down there. I'm pretty good with the cold. You know, I don't know if I'm good with swimming, you know, 2.4 miles in the water down there. But, I, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I know I'm not. I'm not good with the cold. I was raised in Florida, and I still have Florida blood. So, you know, again, give, you know, I previewed a little bit of your backstory, but could we kind of, you know, maybe not the resume, but, you know, what was really formative in, you know, how you have made some of these big decisions about what you're doing post-military?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. I'll run through the timeline with you in a second. You know, it comes down to me, like, taking those small steps, you know, small victories, as we say in the military, right? When growing up, you know, I didn't know I was choosing discomfort in the way that, made me stronger and more powerful. It's just something that I did, something like internally that was driving me to want to be better than I was. You know, it's why I chose to play sports. Like growing up, I could have just sat at home and played video games or just hung out with my friends or whatever. I decided to play sports. And then doing so, you say, why not be the best at playing sports? Why not be the best at football? And, you know, became a captain of my team. And then you say, well, I'm going to go to college. Why not try to be the best at college? Why not go to the top university in the country? And I was considering going to West Point, but like you said, like we talked about earlier offline, you know, maybe I would have had more fun going to a regular college and chasing girls and just having a real experience, you know, because West Point is miserable. And I didn't realize how miserable it was going to be until I went there. But I chose that life, and it was easy for me to quit, and I did not. You know, I just continued to grind and choose that discomfort. And then, you know, you join the military, and I was an artillery officer at first. And I joined that branch because most of the Army football players were artillery guys, you know, and that just seemed like my crew, my tribe, my guys, you know. And when I got there, I had a great time with the artillery, but I said, you know what, I want to do a little bit more. I want to push myself a little bit harder. You know, I'm already here. Why not try to be the best? And so, you know, I went to Ranger School, and then I went to the Special Forces Selection and Qualification course, and I did that. And then, you know, I deployed 3 times to the Middle East and spent some time in Korea and also in Africa. I served a mission for my church in the middle of West Point to St. Petersburg, Russia. Let me say that correctly, St. Petersburg, Russia. And then, you know, I got my MBA at BYU, and also it's all because, you know, I never wanted to be bored or stagnant, or, you know, I never wanted to not push myself. And that was kind of the driving factor for me, the catalyst for me.
Well, obviously we're in difficult times right now. The work that you do at Mission 60, working with lots of different clients and companies and leaders, are you seeing people really embrace this? A challenge, or do you think people are what I'm calling in a little bit of a trough of despair right now?
You know, a little bit of both. I think people know that they should be doing this, and they freely admit, like, yeah, I should be fill in the blank, losing a little bit of weight, going on that diet, working out a little bit harder, you know, spending a little bit more time at work, spending a little bit more time with my wife, you know, really taking care of my kids and educating them, like all these things that you should be doing, but for whatever reason, you're making excuses and reasons why you're not doing it.
Yeah.
You know? And so for us, we've seen a lot of success when we ask somebody just to take that first small step, you know, wake up at 4 a.m. and put 1 foot on the floor. And once you do that, it's a lot easier to put that second foot on the floor. And then once you do that, you'll find it's a lot easier to put your shorts and your t-shirt on and your shoes on and go outside and go for a run or go to the gym. It's just hard to inspire people to start, you know, and that's where we focus is let's just start. And we don't have to, hey, you don't have to run an Ironman tomorrow. You certainly don't have to run 50 Ironman races in 50 days in a row, you know, but just start by getting out of bed. Start by having a tough conversation with someone. You know, that's what our country is dealing with right now is people that don't want to listen and they don't want to communicate and they just want to be in their safe space. And this is who I am. This is what I believe. And nobody's going to shake me from this safe space on both sides of the fence. And we're saying, start, have that uncomfortable conversation with somebody that you may not think that you get along with. And I promise you, you'll find out it wasn't as bad as you thought it was. And you'll learn a lot more than you think you will.
Yeah, that's good counsel. So, you know, you're talking about the taking the first step.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, what I'm seeing is a lot of people are, you know, they're burned out.
Yeah.
The balance, the boundaries are all out of whack. How do you help people, you know, establish their priorities so that they can basically, you know, get where they're going and be able to manage their energy and the energy of those around them? How are you helping people prioritize these days and achieve that balance and set those boundaries?
A lovely question. I appreciate that, Jen. You know, First, I'll tell you, so many people come to us and they're like, I've hit rock bottom. Well, I think those people find out that rock bottom has a basement, you know, and it can always get worse, right?
Yeah.
And if 2020 was difficult for you, I'd like for you to intentionally make 2021 harder, because guess what? It's already going to be hard. So you might as well be proactive and prepared for it. So choose hard things before hard things choose you. It's kind of the message that we're trying to propagandize and evangelize right now. And we have a model which we call the Total Warrior Model, and it's patterned after what we learned at the qualification course, which is kind of the whole man, whole person concept. And we tweaked it a little bit because we know it works. And we say, if you can organize your priorities and your goals and focus on these six domains or intelligences simultaneously in parallel with each other, then you're going to find success in life. And the way we broke it down is mental, physical, spiritual, social, emotional, and professional. If you can find goals in a balance with those six areas, you're going to be successful and you're going to be organized. You're going to be happy because of it.
Yeah. And what do you think the hardest first step in doing that? I mean, you know, for some people, just sitting down and being alone in their thoughts is hard. And that exercise in and of itself is really important, but it will never be an urgent exercise.
I'll tell you, it depends, and it's different for everybody. Mm-hmm. So we look at those six areas, right? And then you say, okay, so let's look at the physical domain, right? Well, you go to the gym sometimes and you'll see a guy who's just absolutely jacked. You know, he's got muscles everywhere you can think of. And you're like, man, this guy is nailing it in the physical domain, right? Chances are the guy probably doesn't have a job. He lives in his grandmother's basement and he's absolutely broke. And the only money that he has, he spends on protein powder and supplements, right? Or you look at the guy who's just nailing it in the professional domain. The guy has more money than he knows what to do with. His business is absolutely crushing it, but he's on the verge of a divorce, also on the verge of a heart attack. You know, and then he hasn't read a book in 20 years, right? Because he spends all of his time focused on that one domain. He doesn't spend any time on the social domain, meaning spending time with your family or your friends. And he doesn't spend any time on the physical domain, like he never goes into the gym or he doesn't do cardio or anything like that. You know, and then you look at all these other domains and you say, listen, you can really look at somebody who's very intelligent mentally, but socially intelligent, they're not, right? And so that's what we look at, is if you can find out what's uncomfortable for you, you know, and it depends for everybody. It's different for everybody. It just depends on where you're at in life. And you take that uncomfortable leap of faith and say, you know what? I don't want to do this. I know I should. I'm going to take that first step. I'm going to start. I'm going to focus on this because I know I need this. That's where Mission 6-0 comes in. And that's where we're here to help you.
Yeah. We just got a comment just rolled in and said, you know, there's a lot of assumptions being thrown around. So you're getting a challenge here from a fellow veteran. I'm wondering, he didn't say what the assumptions are, but they might be, you know, what the priorities are, what, you know, I mean, that everybody's into cardio and fitness and, you know, the same way that, you know, veterans are.
Yeah, I'll address that. So I'm not stereotyping anyone. I'm just throwing out some examples. Like there might be a guy who's at the gym who's like that. Not every guy that goes to the gym that has, you know, that works out a ton. I go to the gym and work out a ton. You know, like I'm not living in my grandmother's basement. I'm just giving you guys some examples of people that we've met, you know, that are going through these challenges.
Well, Jason, if you don't mind, I'd love to hear, you know, to kind of personalize it. I mean, how do you go about this? I mean, you know, your whole life you've, you know, piled up lots of different achievements and you've got aspirations in the future. How are you reconciling, prioritizing those? I know you have a young family, you know, you've got fitness goals, you're an Ironman, you've got the business, you've got a nonprofit. Yeah. How do you juggle in church? How do you juggle all this the right way?
Again, it depends, you know, what works for me isn't going to work for everybody else. You know, we just establish, you know, a program and a baseline for where you need to be. And for me, I'm a guy that's pretty ambitious, you know, and the Van Camp family crest, like literally has a cart before a horse on it. You know what I mean? So that's my challenge, you know, to slow down, to pump the brakes a little bit And so I surround myself with people that challenge me and that tell me the truth, what they think. Like, Jason, that's not a good idea. Jason, don't do that. You know, Jason, let's take a second to really digest that and marinate on that for a little bit before we pull the trigger. Okay. Those are the type of things that I need to hear, you know, because when I see something or get excited about something, I pull the trigger. You know, I'm a trigger puller. You know what I mean? Like, I don't procrastinate on it. I don't say, oh, well, maybe one day. I just do it. And that's just kind of in my personality. And so for me, I try to keep maintain focus on the six areas of my life. And so socially, it kind of comes first for me, my family, my wife and my kids. You know, I want to look back on my life and know that I gave everything I possibly could to make them happy. And I couldn't agree more with the phrase, happy wife, happy life, you know. Yeah. And I love my kids more than anything. Yeah. Business, there's people professionally. There are many, many people, both for Warrior Rising and Mission 60, that count on me and that depend on me to get the job done and do it effectively. And so knowing that, I try to do my best to be a servant, to serve them as a leader.
Yeah.
You know, mentally, you know, I used to love reading books. And it's hard to find the bandwidth to do that now. And when I say reading books, I don't mean listening to them on Audible. You know, I don't count that as reading a book. That's listening to a book. So I process information and digest it when I read it, you know. And so I've had to set time aside every day to read a certain amount of pages in a book, you know, that's helpful for me, that I'm interested in. Physically, I wake up. Before my wife and kids wake up in the morning and I go to the gym, and luckily it's pretty close to where I live, and I work out for an hour. Later in the day, I put my kids, two of them, Claire and Jack, they're 3 and 1. I put them in a stroller, a running stroller, and I go running with them for about an hour. And about halfway through, we stop at a park and I let them go play for about 30 minutes or so on the swings, and we hang out. And then I come back. It's a win-win for everybody. The kids get a chance to play. I get a chance to run and do some cardio. My wife gets a chance to have the kids out of her hair for a little bit. Everybody's happy, you know. I'm on a nutrition plan right now. So I have a company that we've partnered with at Mission 60 that provides meals for us. And it's amazing. I mean, like in the last 90 days, I've lost 36 pounds. Wow. COVID really got to me, man, with the no gym thing. So I'm feeling great. Spiritually, I go to church every Sunday, and then in my church, sort of in charge of the young men, you know, kind of teaching them. So every Tuesday night, we do an activity with them. Emotionally, that's probably the toughest one for me to work through. I have a gratitude journal and kind of write down the gratitude, what I'm grateful for throughout the day. And those are my six. I think I covered all of them.
Yeah. First, thank you for sharing. And, you know, second, I wanted to circle back to something you said at the beginning. You know, it sounds like you've got great self-awareness because you're asking people to kind of check you. And you also made the comment that there's a little bit of ready, fire, and then aim. And I wonder if, you know, that's a little bit of our background of the military, that we were, you know, trained early on to make a decision, you know, and I wonder if that's been an adjustment for you over the last 5 years, is to not be so quick to decide on a direction, to be a little bit more thoughtful, to slow down a little bit.
That's a great call. We are trained to do that. Like, when you make a decision, you made it, and we're going, everybody's on board. We're going 100 miles an hour, and this is what we're going to do. No good idea fairies. Like, you know, that's the sort of thing. I've learned to be more patient and to look at things differently in the civilian world. For example, in the military, you send an email out and you expect someone to respond to you pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just expected. And in the civilian world, you know, I would send emails out when I first got out and I was like, hey, it's been 24 hours. They didn't respond to me. They're blowing me off. They're disrespecting me, you know, and you sometimes don't get an email back for a week or maybe 2 weeks. And it's not that someone was disrespecting you. It's just that that's how long it takes some people to respond to you, you know? Mm-hmm. And I see the same thing with a lot of the guys that come through Warrior Rising. Like, oh, that guy's not interested. I sent him an email 3 days ago. He never responded. how about you wait just a little bit longer before you write that dude off or blow him off? Because chances are he's still interested. He's just taking his time to get to you or collect his thoughts. Mm. You know, I try to surround myself with people that that are smarter than me, that are better than me in many different ways. And in my inner circle, those are the people that really tell me the truth and get after me. And if we have to wait on something, they provide that feedback for me pretty bluntly. And I appreciate that. I like the blunt feedback. I like people challenging me. I don't like the yes man sort of attitude, but to each his own. That's what resonates with me.
Yeah. So we covered a little bit of prioritization, which I think a lot of people are struggling with these days, the whole idea of balance. The other thing you hit on before was having the difficult conversation. And that's another thing, at least in my work, that we spend a lot of time helping people figure out how to have a difficult conversation. Whether it's through a peer, a subordinate, a superior. What sort of advice do you have for, you know, dealing with difficult situations or people?
You know, my commander, when I walked into 10 Special Forces Group for the first time, and I sat down with him to get an in-brief and hear about his leadership philosophies and so forth. He said, the difference between being a good Green Beret and a great Green Beret is his ability to listen. You know, if you sit back and you listen, you're going to find out more than you know. But if all you do is wait for your turn to talk, you're just regurgitating what you already know. You know, and so I took that to heart. And whenever I'm in a situation with anybody, you know, and I kind of refine that through, you know, my experiences as a detachment commander and you know, in other leadership positions as an officer in the Middle East. Like, if you just sit down and you say, okay, talk to me, I'm here to listen. If you're willing to talk, I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to make a decision and I'm going to assess you while I'm doing this. And if you can do that with anybody, even if you don't agree with this person, even if you consider this person an enemy, you're making strides. And it's very difficult to hold your tongue. You know, and it's a skill, it's a practice that you have to master.
Yeah. As you on those deployments, obviously there were a lot of places where you had to make very fast decisions, but when you had time to make decisions, you know, that were a little bit more complicated, you know, what have you brought into the civilian world, the business world, about that decision-making process that's been helpful or things that you share with your clients today?
I think, a lot. And I'll tell you two things. One is FOPO, fear of other people's opinions, right? Mm-hmm. And then marketing as well. Marketing and sales, essentially. I think those are the two big things we bring to the table. Two things that are different in a way as well. So when in the military, you know, as a Green Beret, you're kind of nicknamed a quiet professional, and it's really frowned upon to not put yourself out there, not talk about yourself, not talk about your team, not market yourself, not sell yourself, that sort of thing. And I really bought into that, you know? And so when I started my business, I didn't do any marketing, you know, it was sort of like hush, hush, word of mouth sort of thing. And we were slow growing, you know, and we saw other guys, you know, particularly Navy SEALs that were really going out there and beating their chest and saying, this is who we are, this is what we do. And you know, ultimately seeing them become very successful, you know, so much so that there are a couple guys in that community right now and in the leadership development space that get paid six figures to speak for an hour. You know what I mean? Like, that's, wow, that's impressive. I applaud you. And so when I talked with the team and I said, listen, guys, we're not going to get to where we want to go unless we start to market ourselves, but we don't have to do it in a negative way. We can do it in a very positive way. You know, once we understood that and got over our fear of what other people thought about us or potentially could think about us and just said, listen, this is who we are. This is what we believe in. This is us being authentic and vulnerable and trying to help people, you know, we got over that fear. And I think a lot of people have a hard time with that. And I think also marketing, you don't have to talk about yourself. Like, I never, I never talk about, you know, oh, Jason Van Camp is so great. Let me tell you about what I did on my deployments or whatever. Nah, you don't ever hear about that. You always hear me talking about my team, about our mindset, about our clients, you know, and it comes down to, you know, when I was a detachment commander and we had to sell our team to the boss, you know, for a mission. Like, I never went in there with a slide deck and talked for an hour about how we should pick Jason Van Camp and I'm the best detachment commander he has in group. It was always about, hey, here's my team sergeant. This is what he's done. Here's my 18 Bravo and Charlie and Delta and Echo. And this is why they're the best. And these are our statistics from our last deployment. And this is why you should choose us for this mission. And this is why, you know, that's what we talked about. Well, let me talk to you about the stats and the results and the people that I have on my team. And that's what sets the Mission 6-0 team apart from everybody else, I believe, is because of the people that we have on the team, the quality of people. We've got, you know, Leroy Petrie, who's a Medal of Honor recipient, and Flo Groberg, who's a Medal of Honor guy, and Nate Boyer, who I went through the Q course with and deployed with and spent years at 10th Group with, one of my best friends and founding members of Mission 6-0. You know, we've got Joey Jones, double amputee Marine. We've got Green Berets and Navy SEALs and Rangers and amazing people. And we combine that with science. We have PhDs and researchers and experts on our team as well, behavioral practitioners. And that's where we come in. We have SOF and science. And that's what Mission 6-0 is all about.
And SOF, just for those that might not know.
Oh, Special Operations Forces.
There you go. There's a couple other questions I want to ask you, but let me ask you this, just as a small business owner, all the people you have on the team that can deliver and influence and advise, what percentage of those folks can make it rain? They can really generate demand and bring in business. I mean, is that a much rarer skill to find in prior military folks?
Yeah, it really is. It's a learned skill to make it rain. I think you're talking and referring to finding clients and making sales, right? I equate it to hunters and farmers. You know, on the Mission 6-0 team, we got a lot of farmers. We got a lot of guys that know their craft and they're like, Jason, give me a platform, find me a client and I'll go speak. And you're going to pay me for it. You know, of course. Yeah. Very rarely do we have the guys that want to hunt, that want to pick up the phone and make those calls and send out emails and do that sort of thing. Guys just aren't really trained for that, or nor are they really good at it, at least on my team.
Yeah. I wonder where that miss is, because I mean, if you take people from the special operations community, they were the best of the best and they made things happen. They were proactive as much as they were reactive. They had to understand different cultures and go in there and win friends and win hearts and minds. It seems like it shouldn't be that difficult to translate that over and say, you know, hey, you know, in order to serve clients, you know, you have to get clients. I wonder why that leap is so difficult and why a guy like you has been able to do it.
It's uncomfortable. And people don't want to do it because it's hard and it sucks. And you have to learn from scratch. You have to be humble and you have to swallow your ego and you say, you know, I don't know how to sell to the civilian in the civilian world. Teach me. Somebody who understands what they're doing. Show me how to do this. Teach me how to do this. I don't have a problem with that because to me, it makes sense. Like, I need to learn. I need to get better. I need to land these clients. And if nobody else is doing it for me, I need to do it myself.
Do you think, you know, doing that 2-year mission in Russia had something to do with your ability to deal with rejection?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I was 19 to 21 years old, and I would be talking on the street in Russian, in a foreign language, and originally, you know, right off the bat, not very good at it, embarrassingly bad at it, you know, yeah. And you just learn and you get better and you pick yourself up off the mat. And the guy that can pick himself up every single time and learn from their failure is the guy that's going to succeed. Yeah. And I did that for 2 years, talking with people on the street, saying, no, thank you. Get out of my face. Get out of here. Knocking on doors all day long, you know, trying to talk to people. And and you get to the point where you become confident with talking with strangers, and you become get to a point where you become confident speaking the Russian language. I was very, very fluent at the end of my mission. Unfortunately, not as much anymore. Give me about 2 months to get back up to speed, and I think I'd be speaking pretty well again. But 20 years ago, kind of the language diminishes, you know?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, right up the road from you is Joel Peterson. I don't know if you know him, chairman of JetBlue.
Yeah.
This is a great book, by the way. And one of the things he advocates for business people is start off in sales. And very, very few people that are getting out of the military want to go into sales because they think of sales as, you know, car sales or door to door, understand business to business. But I can't think of a better skill to learn right off the bat than to learn how to sell. Because to me, it's not about convincing people, you know, to buy something. It's about helping people with problems and challenges. And the better you get at it, the more fun it is because, you know, again, the worst case is you're referring them to someone else. You're helping them even if they don't buy what it is, you know, you're offering. And I you know, again, with Warrior Rising and all those, and everybody is getting out and really wondering what they want to do. And now they basically have 200 people that they lead. It's like, well, you've got to learn the business first, and there's no better way than to get out there and sell and learn the market, the clients, the operations, all of that.
I couldn't agree more. If you're not selling, you're dying in place, right? Yeah. And when you sell, you're actually doing market research, so you're finding out what people want. Oh, you know what? I don't like that product, but I really like this. And the more you do it, you find out that most people want X instead of Y. So let's ditch Y and eventually get good at it. And it depends too. Like you got to know your audience. You got to know your client. What works for one person is not going to work for another person.
Well, you know? if you went back 5 years, you know, 2015, that's when you got out. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What advice would you give yourself if you could go back in time?
Oh man, I'd love to go back in time all the way to 1995 if I could, you know, because there'd be a lot of lessons for young Jason Van Camp, you know. If I were to go back just 5 years, I would say, okay, well, this is what I would do. Other than giving myself the winning tickets to a lottery number, right? I'd give myself my book, Deliberate Discomfort, and I'd say, listen, you need to write this, buddy, as quick as possible, because this is your product. This is what you're going to sell. This is what's going to give you credibility. And people who are going to read this, and for the people that it really resonates with, they're going to say, we want to bring you in to speak and to work with our team. And this is your product. This is what you can sell. And this is what you can build off of, you know, because what you're going to be doing for the next 3 years is kind of trying to figure out what does work. You know what I mean? But again, through those 3 years, there was a lot of lessons learned that I wouldn't necessarily want to eliminate or to rewind upon, you know?
Yeah. And over the last 5 years and maybe even 10 years, I mean, how has your definition of success changed?
When I was a kid, I thought I wanted to, this is how I looked at life. This was sort of my drive. I want to get more stories than anybody else. Hmm. You know, when I was a kid, very young, my uncles were all sitting around the kitchen table during Christmas time, and they were all telling hilarious stories. Some of my uncles were Vietnam guys, and they were talking about all sorts of different things. Everybody was laughing, and I wanted to join in so bad, but I couldn't because I didn't have anything to say. I had no stories, and I was young, you know? And I said to myself at the time, you know what? One day I'm going to get more stories than all you guys, you know, that's kind of what I thought at the time. And then, so growing up, whenever there was a situation placed in front of me, I always said to myself, will this be a good story one day? If so, I'm going to do it. You know, and so it sort of led me to some crazy experiences and stuff that I don't regret, you know? But as I grew up, I realized that life isn't about trophies. It's about people. And it's about the relationships that you have with those people. You know, and I think that to me is what success looks like now. It's about adding value and helping other people, and above all else, serving people. Because ultimately, that's what makes me the happiest in life, is when I'm at service to my fellow man.
And, you know, the other thing I'd be curious about is, you know, as you focused your business, who are your people? You know, as you look at, you know, what's the best client partners? What do they look like?
So what we do now, because COVID has been difficult for our business, where we historically have done keynote presentations and then from our veterans, and then workshops from our scientists that build off of the veteran presentations, and then custom programs, which amount to team building events, corporate retreats, executive coaching, things like that. And so since COVID hit, it was very difficult for our business. All of our contracts were canceled or postponed in 2020. So we said, we can just die in place, or we can do something about it. You know, we can get uncomfortable. We can figure this out. And so we did. And so our model now is we provide a masterclass workshop that's certified in PMP and Sherm and a number of other entities there. And then we do a live Q&A on top of that. And so we've had a lot of success with this, and we've got a lot of amazing testimonials and feedback from that. And so our clients right now are medical device companies, sales companies, and then those are the two big clients. So historically, you know, very patriotic, pro-military companies that have a large sales force in some capacity.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure. You know, David Ortiz weighed in, fellow veteran, said amen, service to others. And I have to put a shout out to David. He's running for a state legislative seat in Colorado. So we're rooting for David to win that seat on Tuesday. And things are looking good for him. So,
hell yeah. Get after it, Big Poppy. I'm not sure if he's the same guy to play for the Red Sox. Probably not, but if he is, man, good luck.
Yeah. Oh, he's a good man. David Ortiz in Colorado. Jason, as we sort of wrap up, you know, what would you like to convey to others, or put a challenge out there that, you know, as sort of a parting shot, if you will?
I would say this, you know, choose hard things, or hard things are going to choose you. So whatever it is that's holding you back, let's look at overcoming that. And if you're thinking about it like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you're thinking about it wrong. You should be thinking about it like this: if it ain't broke, break it and make it better. And that's what the deliberate discomfort mindset is all about. And I promise you, because I've lived it, you know, I'm also a client, you know what I mean? Like that old commercial goes, if you can take that first step and just start, I promise you, you're going to see tremendous results and a positive change in your life.
That's awesome. Well, let me put the book up there again. It's Deliberate Discomfort, and it's how U.S. Special Operations Forces overcame fear and dare to win by getting comfortable being uncomfortable. So, Jason, again, thank you for sharing some of your experiences and your stories and representing the Duke. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Colonel Mike Kirby, at your service.
There you go.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show. This is awesome. You're doing great things. And if there's anything I can do to help you out, or anybody that's listening, feel free to reach out to me at jason@mission60.com.
All right. And of course, this will get posted on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. So in the meantime, everyone, we will see you next time. And again, thanks, Jason.
Thank you, brother. Take care.